I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Season's over. The good stuff's just getting started, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 24th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson on Bob Dylan's birthday. That's filling, Mason. I filled the space.
If you create a vacuum, Pete Donaldson will fill it.
I will fill it. I'm like a fucking gas.
Do you celebrate every year?
I do, yeah. I only know that because NUFC.com always do a birthday post about him and pretend he's a footballer. They basically say he came, he entertained the crowds, but then left under freedom of contract.
I've seen Bob Dylan, I think, 4 or 5 times.
Was not entertained.
He rarely entertains the crowds. I mean, absolutely clear. But happy birthday to the great
happy
man.
Happy birthday to the great man. Yeah.
Happy birthday to the great man. Agreed. It's time for you to now drop in your little references to all the songs in covert ways so that I feel like
an idiot. This is BBC's Football Focus. They wouldn't touch us and we wouldn't touch them. Next, you would touch them. You'd love that job. Fair enough. Me and Pete wouldn't. We're done.
Thanks for again slating and destroying all of my career ambitions on an international podcast. Lovely. Thank you, everybody. Good to see you. Nice to see your little faces. Now, look, there is a lot going on. We've got some playoff eliminator action.
It's like a little tasting menu, I think, this show. Because there's so much stuff. Yeah. Nothing too nutritious.
No.
Just little bits and bobs. Yeah. It's like some alpha bites over here, some chicken tenders over here.
Very much the kind of meal that you feel like you really need to get at McDonald's on the way home after it.
I always feel
but there's
like
a there's a conspiracy afoot, by the way. Right. Lots of people complain.
Don't bring feet into this.
No, I won't bring it.
You've already ruined my day once.
I won't bring feet into it.
Carry on.
A lot of people have complained. Right. Not a lot, a few people have complained.
Right.
That we didn't get to Sunderland yesterday. Now, I was on yesterday's show. There's a lot to get through in the Premier League roundup because obviously it was the final day of the season and everything.
Barely got to Tottenham, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's another casualty. But we were always going to get to Sunderland today, and of course we will. But some people thought that it was a conspiracy because it was Pete Donaldson related.
Because I planned because I think a modern podcast that, you know, loads of people listen to, millions of people listen to over a year, needs my admin as the person who plans all the shows.
On the other hand, that's in the one column. In the other column, your fierce hatred over the years for Sunderland made some people put two and two together. Perhaps they come up with five. Who knows?
Yeah, it's softened. I've made it very clear. It's softened, admittedly, because they've not been a threat for a very long time.
Say what you feel about Donald Trump.
EDM intensifies.
Yeah.
I think the main thing that people should realise is that, you know, when we're railing against the forces of football and people like UEFA and FIFA and all that lot, it's all just part of the great conspiracy that is us running football.
Hiding in plain sight.
I'm amazed that we managed to get away with it. In fact, that you guys have managed to get away with it for so long, but it could explain the mess we're in. Yeah, let's talk about Sunderland, shall we? We're going to... Oh, in fact, first, should we talk about Notts County?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Notts County.
Yeah.
Losing 2-1 at Meadow Lane in the playoff eliminator to Grimsby. Managed to away with the... was that the 96th? Minute equaliser with the generously called, Luke, assist from the keeper in the penalty area. I mean, we like to see the keeper in the penalty
we
area.
Do, yeah.
Would we call it an assist? It sort of, he didn't seem to know.
He had the opportunity to put his foot through it and he sort of touched it a bit.
I'm in this penalty area because they've asked me to be here. I don't know what I'm doing. At one point,
he jumped for a header,
which was about 16 feet over his head as well. I loved it. I loved
I'm
to see
really
it.
Tall. But
if that's an assist, I've had quite a few assists in my career. But you know, it was like when he jumped for the header, it was like, I'm halfway up here. Can't use my hands, can I? Know. Can't use my hands.
Imagine if he'd messed it up.
Yeah, caught it. Next job.
Just takes the goal kick straight through the net. Smash.
But it will go down as an assist, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right.
It's one of the more confusing assists I've ever seen. And that was in the 96th minute, as you said, Kate. And the winner. From Grimsby as well. This has not been mentioned, and partly perhaps because the National League coverage isn't as extensive as even here as perhaps it should be. But the winner in the last minute of extra time, that's offside.
Mm.
It's offside, and no one's saying it.
Mm.
There's
You're
no VAR. There's no VAR, obviously. It was offside.
They're playing a different game, as we said before. It's a different game down there because
that's good, honest football for me.
It's not scalable. The solution isn't
cheating.
Scalable.
cheating.
You didn't want it. You didn't want VAR. I've lost track of your views on VAR. Let's not. No, I will not have this. We will not talk about VAR in the context of something that we don't need to talk about.
A game there's no VAR in it. I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we've all lost track of our own opinions on VAR by this point. I feel like I've been in a stress position with white boys for a year about VAR.
As I saw Mike Dean hoping to soak up the applause at Stamford Bridge on Sunday, and I assumed he was going to ascend into the heavens launched by a UFO. I thought to myself, VAR doesn't know what's coming. But apparently he's not going to take that fucking job.
He's not doing anything with the PGMI, apparently.
Even Mike Dean doesn't...
Wants to follow Tranmere Rovers around and do his own thing, baby.
He really wants is to be on Strictly Come Dancing. And if you've not seen it, he's been dropping into every fucking little chance he's had that he used to ballroom dance.
That's interesting. Right.
Okay.
I can see
that's interesting.
Because
okay.
In my mind, I was thinking, at the time of recording, as we sit here now, he's sat in a coffee shop somewhere speaking to his mate about how he's always wanted to travel coast to coast across America on Route 66 in an open top car.
Yeah.
And I wish him all the best in that.
I sort of get the feeling, remember when McCorsey out of Big Brother left the Big Brother house and then announced to her world that her and her agent are working on becoming like an EU ambassador?
Right.
Or something.
What's happened
and
to
it's
her?
Like, well, she didn't get it. She didn't get the gig.
Is this the preamble to how Brexit happened?
I think so. McCorsey fucked it.
Sliding doors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're amazing.
But I've got a real soft spot for Grimsby. I think they're it's a club that kind of everyone's kind of forgotten about a little bit. But do you remember in the 90s they had that that Italian footballer, Bonetti, who was owned by a company? He was like
Tell
one of the first.
He
was one of the first footballers to be owned by a company, and like it was a really protracted, weird kind of situation where he couldn't stick around for very long. But he became a bit of a cult favorite because he was in 1995 playing for Grimsby, and he was Italian for crying out loud. That didn't happen very often, but
does ring a bell actually.
Do you remember?
Yeah, in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know you. I didn't expect you to say that.
Well, that's all. When I think of Grimsby Town, that's what I always think about.
I actually saw Grimsby play the season before last at Mansfield Town. Mansfield Town beat them. But
guys, we've just missed an evening with Ivano Bonetti.
What?
What?
Mid-March it was.
Ah,
also
nuts.
Paid for by a company. Probably.
In the pocket of a big company.
Yeah.
But Notts County should have lost that tie just because of Carl Cameron's danger haircut. Have you seen his big...
Oh, their mullet. That... They're coming back.
They're back.
Not that one, though. That
I
one
saw
can't
a guy on the train
back.
Yesterday morning who had exactly the same haircut.
Proper
as that.
Mississippi bobcat haircut.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good God.
We know that Lucas always knows what the trends are, so.
You could do that. You need thick hair for a nice mullet.
I had
really
a mullet like
do.
That back in like probably the early 2000s.
All right.
Yeah.
I can only do Richard O'Brien's skullets. That's the
yeah,
thing
skullets.
I can do, yeah.
You never want to never danger into the
never dealt with
a skullet.
Yeah.
A skullet, no.
Anyway, you've got a bit of a curl to yours. Would that
exactly.
have an impact?
And it's thick as well.
Yeah, difficult. Anyway, Notts County's manager in Birchnell said that he learned most of what he knew about Grimsby from a drunk Grimsby fan in the back of a taxi on the way back to Nottingham from scouting at a Grimsby game. So I guess he just like launched himself up to this this drunk fan and share his taxi.
Well, apparently they got kicked off the a train. They were coming back on a train,
classic.
But the guy was drunk and he'd hurt himself, and they were waiting for the ambulance. Instead of getting an ambulance, they just said, go and get a taxi. Cool. Right. Isn't this country cool?
Yeah.
It's going to be a tour wait for an ambulance.
Has the taxi got medical equipment? No.
It's got some smokeless fuel in the back.
Probably got some napkins in the central between the two front
and
seats.
So this drunk Grimsby fan was in the front of the taxi, and the manager of Notts County was just absolutely filling his boots with the information.
So not only is he injured, but he's also getting exploited by a man who, as he said afterwards, I told my wife that I was going behind enemy lines and said that if you don't hear from me, then I've been taken.
It's like
I think all this points, there's a few other pieces of evidence as well, which I'll come to, but all this points towards the fact that I think Ian Birchnell is a man who takes himself very seriously indeed. Mm. If you look at his Wikipedia page,
oh no,
it just says Ian Birchnell, date of birth, whatever, he's a football manager. And the first sentence is, he holds the UEFA Pro licence, full stop. All right, Ian. You've written that yourself.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But he has a fairly interesting story because he took over from Graham Potter at Ostersons, didn't he?
That's him.
And Graham Potter obviously went on to...
Great things,
Ian Birchnell still kind of finding his way. He's only in his 30s, so it's a great result for them last night. I thought the winning goal was offside. That dems the breaks, but we move.
Yeah, he says he was sitting to return to this drunk fan. He said that he seemed to be speaking. This actually supports your point, Luke. He does seem a tiny bit self-important. He says he was sat in the front. I was asking him questions about all their strengths and weaknesses. How do you feel about the playoffs? He said, I'm happy to have County away because we've already beaten them once. I just said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. They went backwards and forwards. He didn't have a clue.
Yeah. Why would he have a clue?
Yeah.
You've not announced it.
No.
It's the kind of thing I would do, isn't it?
What's this, taxi cab confessions?
Yeah. We all know how they go.
Fake taxi.
Oh, it's the fake taxi.
Fake taxi. Yeah. It's a real taxi. Yeah. I mean, it's still a taxi. You're not saying, I mean, it could still operate as a taxi after a wipe down.
Use the napkins. It's a terrible nightmare to look around and you're in a taxi and it says just has fake taxi stickers everywhere.
I've seen cars with fake taxis. It's
Have you seen it?
It's bad. I haven't seen the fake taxi, but there used to be a little gig
they used to do. A music website did it where they would put you in the back of a cab with your acoustic guitar, and if you were a singer-songwriter, you'd play in the back of the cab.
Oh, nice.
It was one of the very early YouTube series.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. Cool.
So the fake taxi sticker would just be like whether baby on board...
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't in a taxi, so we know. Unless it was like an Uber version of it, I don't know.
Do you think Sunderland fans will be happy?
I was wondering that.
Yeah, coming on the round after fake taxi. It's like Pete Donaldson, it's like you are actively mocking them on purpose.
I didn't do any of this.
So why would you keep moving Sunderland down the running order?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
They could do with a soiling charge. The things they've done to the Premier League.
And to themselves. No, that's out of order.
That's out of order.
Yes. It's a good story. It's a positive story for Sunderland.
Yes, let's focus on that, shall we, Pete? Sunderland back into the second tier for the first time since 2018. Doesn't sound so impactful when you put it like that. I apologise, Sunderland fans. They beat Wickham 2-0. Bloody hell! I thought the first goal was really fun. The massive run from Elliot Embleton all the way. You know, he picked it up in his own half and then took
a great goal.
Well,
great goal.
Well, was it?
What's the keeper doing? But you've still got to run with the ball that far.
Yeah. The run was amazing. And as it turned out, take a pot shot, you might get lucky. Well,
I watched it the first time and I thought, oh, that's moved. And I saw it from behind. It hasn't actually moved that much. The keeper just went for it with his forearm and ricocheted it into the roof of his own net.
It was a bit
on possibly the biggest day of his life. So let's not dwell on that. But I'm pleased for Sunderland. I think, I've said this to Pete before when he's been being naughty. You know, Newcastle and Sunderland fans have more in common with each other and they should recognise that. And when the powers that be try and keep the little man down, should be showing a bit of solidarity, actually, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've had a go at them. I've had a go at Akinfenwa. Yeah. This was the Donaldson derby in many ways.
Yeah, it was very much. And I think what's really good for Sunderland is the fact that, you know, Alex Neil's come in and been essentially what I believe to be, and I've seen a bit of Sunderland this season, particularly in the second half of the season, what I believe to be just a better quality manager. They're more organised, they concede fewer goals. He's someone who has got experience taking teams up through the playoffs, both in England and in Scotland. Mm. He's managed in the Premier League, which is a higher level than the last, what, at least the last three managers they've had. Who's that? Lee Johnson, Jack Ross, and it is Phil Parkinson.
Right.
Phil
Parkinson,
who didn't really seem like he had the qualifications for that job in the first place, in my view. So that obviously speaks to the fact that Sunderland were a little bit up against it financially and all the rest of it. And getting someone like Alex Neil come in, it was a really good write-up of him ahead of this playoff final. I forget where it was now, doesn't matter. But he seems like a really serious character. He's also still quite a young manager. Mm. I think when he got Norwich promoted to the Premier League, he was, what, 33, something like that? So he's still got all ahead of him. He's been able to kind of inject a good bit of solidity, a bit of tactical discipline in there. They stopped conceding goals towards the second half of the season. They came into form at the right time. They were the much better team against Wickham in the final.
Yeah, even Gareth Ainsworth said it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it would be silly for him to say anything else. But these are two very different clubs, right? Wickham are traditionally, historically, a non-league team. They're doing brilliantly well to be where they are. They've had a little holiday or whatever in the second tier. I mean, I'd love my team to have a little holiday in the second tier. And they're a much bigger club than Wickham.
Wickham, I feel like they're gentle fans, probably. And broadly speaking, you know, it's a very nice place to go. It's got a partridge shoot nearby, so you know, perhaps they won't write in and slate Luke. But if you want to,
they will. They will.
Wickham
when I say
listening.
That, I think Wickham is crap. it's a terrible place. But anyway. I mean, League One for Wickham is, they won't feel like this now, of course, but Wickham, League One for them is fine. Sunderland, second tier for Sunderland fans, they would feel, do you think Sunderland fans would be happy being in second tier, or do you think they belong in the Premier League?
I think, historically in the Premier League, before, when the Premier League was created, I mean, they were flirting with it. They would come up for a couple of years and then go back down again. So you'd probably say that they're kind of on that cusp. But I think with that manager, it's ideal for them in the Championship. He's such a kind of, like you say, he's a serious guy. He knows how to set teams up defensively and he knows how to put a run together.
And they can
stuff.
Sustain themselves in the Championship, right?
I really do think they can cement their position there, definitely. And that's exactly what they need.
Alex Neil said as well that, you know, he didn't want to manage, and not in a kind of a disrespectful way, I don't think. He said, I don't want to be managing in League One. You know,
that's fair enough.
I want to be at least a champion.
Drag the club with you. And he's also been big enough and a strong enough character. And look, it's fine margins, right? Because they found it a lot more tough against Sheffield Wednesday than they did against Wickham. And it could be a different story. That's what football's like. We could be sitting there thinking, oh, another season in League One for Sunderland. They've not been good enough. We're not doing that because they've been able to win the playoff final.
Yeah, and let's not forget they finished fifth, right? And that's pretty unusual to get promoted off the back of finishing fifth. That hasn't happened since 2005.
Wickham would have been sixth, right? Wickham would have been the team below them.
Okay, yeah.
So
maybe that's a shit argument.
But no, I understand your point. And I also think that Alex Neil, you know, he's managed to overcome this hoodoo, which has haunted Sunderland for, I think it's the first time they've won at Wembley in like 49 years or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen them lose at Wembley in the trophy against Portsmouth. I think that they've been very unlucky in at Wembley over the years. So for them to break that hoodoo as well is great. Is a great source of enjoyment for them, and good luck to them.
Yeah, I always go backwards and forwards about this whole big club argument. You know, Sunderland, as a context of, or even Newcastle, deserve to be at the top of the Premier League, blah, blah, blah.
Attendance-wise, they probably do deserve to
be. But they do have, that's exactly what I was going to say. They do have, we talked already, didn't we, going into this game about the astonishing record-breaking number of fans that have watched these playoff semis of finals.
Sheffield Wednesday,
yeah, absolutely massive. So yeah, look, it is exciting. But you know, Oldham Athletic was a founder member of the Premier League. If we're going to talk about clubs,
and look what's happened to them, right?
Exactly.
I was going to say, just finally before we move on, anyone who's watched Sunderland till I die, can help to be affected by how impactful a football club is on their community, and the fact that they've been so hard done by through no fault of their own. In terms of a fan base, it's awful, and for them to have a little bit of joy and be promoted back up to the second tier is a great thing for them, and I hope they do well.
It's a cautionary tale for anyone who overstretches themselves in the Premier League, and this all started under Martin O'Neill. Like, the amount of money they spent under him was just astonishing, and they really fell foul of
Ellis Short's ownership. People would talk about, right?
That was great.
And they've got creative minds in the club because poor old James Jelly missed his flight back to London from Menorca. this is the guy we talked about on Friday. He travelled to Wembley by getting a flight to Menorca, then into Stansted for 50 quid because it was cheaper than a train direct from the northeast.
And again, Pete, Britain, isn't it? It's Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, trains are 10 times more expensive than flying.
It's Great Britain. You're fucking welcome to it.
Manchester City had their open-top bus parade in Manchester City Centre yesterday. Pep Guardiola was enjoying himself, wasn't he? Bit of cigar smoking, bit of singing of the Yo-Yo Kolo chant. Jack Grealish was also Pete enjoying himself?
Oh, he'd had a few Metzers, hadn't he? He'd had a few.
Can you still get Metz?
I don't think so, no. But I,
Jack Grealish the Jodder man. He looks a bit like him.
Jack Grealish is the Jodder man.
Looks a bit like him.
Yeah. Was that? No, it was a Smartifies, wasn't it? I think. The Jodder man.
The Jodder man was Metz.
Was he? Oh, maybe he
I
was
think
then.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
It was quite
okay.
A fronting advert, from what I remember.
It was.
But it was, this is an amazing throwback because you'd think, oh, there's no character. People say there's no character in the game. What's the Man City bus tour going to be like?
Yeah.
What are they going to be doing, you know, checking their heart rate monitors every 5 minutes? Nah, they're getting pissed, actually.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
Well, I like that Jack Grealish, given the, his history in the game, yeah. It's good that he's owning it, right?
Make no bones about it, Kate. Jack Grealish had been up all night.
Well, that's what I mean. I think because he's got a bottle of, he hasn't suddenly acquired that. Beautiful kind of
raspy
voice. Yeah, he's Barry not kind White. Of like kind of slagging off Miggy Almiron
yeah.
for no fucking reason.
Where'd that come from?
Caught a stray from fucking Jack's mouth.
He said. What did he say? Did he say Bernardo Silva played like at Miguel?
He
Almiron?
Said Mahrez.
Oh, Mahrez
played like did. Played like, and he went Almiron. He couldn't even say Almiron.
He also brought John Stones in when John Stones didn't want to speak.
Yeah.
And then he slagged off Bernardo Silva, saying he was miles off it. And then we only won essentially because he came off in the 70th minute.
Yeah.
So the good news is you've won the title again.
Yeah.
The bad news is you've got someone who's basically set fire to all the dressing room camaraderie has been built up over the last 4 or 5 years.
I can imagine him right now. What time is it? Like, it's 26 minutes past 10 on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
He's got his arm on a massive bifold door right now in his pants, just looking out to a swimming pool going, oh, bloody hell. Bloody hell, Tommy.
Yeah, he did sound like Arthur Shelby. He's exactly like hell, Arthur Shelby. It's great to hear.
God, I thought you were looking for a role in Rolling News there, Pete. It's coming up to the half hour.
It doesn't matter what day is. All blends into one, you and you're in Broughton, Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, and when you did radio like that, you would do... You break the no repeat guarantee quite a lot by playing the same songs. You would get the time and dates wrong and burp all the time.
What is the penalty for breaking the no repeat guarantee?
I get a stern email from Paul, the boss, going, don't do that again.
Would you ever put a really long song on and then go for a shower or something?
I put on Bohemian Rhapsody, ran home, got the football kit for the football team, and took it to the laundrette.
Well, all in like 7.5
all
minutes.
All in like 7.5 minutes, then ran back.
Great stuff.
What's more important?
Professional.
That is more important.
Did you see, speaking of people having a lovely old time
and gravelly voices?
Yeah. Did you see Noel Gallagher had a.
Liam.
Oh,
no,
it was Noel.
Shit.
It was Noel.
Oh!
Yeah. I wouldn't say either of their voices are gravelly.
No,
anyway.
That's true. I was just imagining after the party.
Yeah. Marcus has already done his Liam Gallagher thing. He's got it in his contract. We can't talk about Liam Gallagher if Marcus isn't on the show.
Oh, fine.
So, yeah, you have to stick to Noel for now.
Should we call him up?
Yeah, don't do that.
Anyway, Noel apparently needed stitches after being head. It's in quotes.
Yeah.
Headbutted by Ruben Dias's dad in the celebrations for Man City's third goal on Sunday.
Now.
Did he know it was him? Because he's just an old bloke headbutting.
Well, the story as he tells it is where we sit, Ruben Dias' family. So I think, yes, because the way he's saying where we sit is his regular seat.
Yeah.
Ruben Dias' family are a couple of boxes up, I'm jumping around like an idiot, passing my son around like the Premier League trophy. Everyone's lifting him up. I turn around, Ruben Dias' dad runs straight into me, headbutts me. I'm on the floor, covered in blood. I don't see the last 2 minutes.
Funny ass, so weird.
You were nagging the old Ivy Brasserie, Luke, yesterday because you're a bit too posh for the old Ivy offshoot. So for whatever reason, this must be a good restaurant, you'd assume. Man City were celebrating there, as were Burnley, celebrating their relegation.
It's not ideal, is it?
What are Burnley doing there?
Outcome. It's just a weird outcome.
I think it's important when something like that happens. I think it is important to have a nice meal after everyone's shut the bed. It's not as if that happened like they got relegated for the last week, like you said on the show yesterday. It's not about what happened in the past few weeks. So they can probably go out with their heads held high, shoveling foie gras into their mouths.
They're having a little chat about what went wrong, and in the background it's just champion.
It's badly planned, I'll admit that. It is
Jack
badly Grealish planned.
Coming over thinking he's being really witty but actually just talking really loudly to people in their ear. You know, Riyad Mahrez fuming about being compared to Miguel Almiron. Miguel Almiron wanders in.
What's going on, lads?
Guys, it's time to get to a break. The break ID is a little peek behind the curtain. 91. So okay. I suspect we've got a new one.
Let's see what it is.
Stand by for it. And then we'll also be doing our predictions from the start of the season.
Hello. I'm not looking forward to this.
Hold up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I want to thank everyone, but the main person I want to thank, the main person that I want to thank is Bernardo Silva for coming off in the 70th minute, because he was miles off it yesterday.
Sean Dyche there at the Ivy, uninvited.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, me, Lick and Pete, with you today.
That was Jack Grealish. We should say that was actually Jack Grealish.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I mean, Arthur Shelby is not an overstatement. You don't know Arthur Shelby. I'll tell you later.
It's beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. Yesterday we said that our emails were shit, but you have responded with great aplomb.
Yeah, this is backfired.
You wanna get stuff off your chest? Tell the Ramble they are the best. For Kate, Mason and the other guys, show at footballramble.com. If you want to change the FA Cup or share a story you just made up, for Kate, Mason and the other guys, show at footballramble.com. You email show at footballramble.com.
Yes, you do.
Do we still put the shout in mono? They're not going to enjoy any of that. We got a message from Alex.
Welcome to the show, Alex.
Welcome to the show. I thought Luke made a very interesting point about Mo Salah deserving the golden boot over Song Heung-min.
Oh, where this is going.
Perhaps it's time that we woke up from the over 130-year-old tradition of sharing the golden boot, which no one ever has a problem with, and stepped into the modern world. Luke is correct that Salah scored his 23 goals in fewer games than Son, but why stop there? Surely minutes per goal is the best way to identify the season's most prolific scorer. In that case, the award goes to Divock Origi with a goal every 35 minutes. But I know what you're thinking, Luke. That doesn't take into account all of the potential goals floating in the ether in the form of XG. Well, in that case, Kevin De Bruyne scored 9 more than he was expected to score. But more importantly, if you take the ratio of expected goals to actual goals, there's only one player, on average, you could put your house on scoring when given a 2% chance. None other than Newcastle's Jeff Hendrick.
Come on, Jeff.
Long story short, Luke, I'll stay in my lane if you stay in yours.
I don't know what my lane is.
Stop hitting yourself, Luke.
I don't know what his lane is. I don't know what mine is.
I didn't really... I mean, unless he's in charge of something, why is he in... What lane is he in?
And I'm also...
Alex, let's talk.
I'll go on record to say I'm very happy for Divock Origi and Jeff Hendrick to both win awards. I think I'd be absolutely fine with that.
It'd be confusing, wouldn't it?
Strictly speaking...
The point I was making...
The golden boot doesn't recognise the most brilliant converter of... or the theoretical XG guy. Yeah.
I don't believe.
Or the dude
I might be wrong on this. I don't
the nicest
believe.
Goals. Although if he did, Son would still win because of the fact he managed to do it without taking pens. It's
fine.
Fucking impressive.
Yeah, I'm not.
I would cancel pens, obviously, but
I'm not. First of all, I don't believe. I don't know this, but I don't believe there's a 130-year-old tradition of the Golden Boot anyway. I don't think that's the thing. I don't think it's been going for that long. Secondly, I'm not trying to say that anyone should or shouldn't get it. I'm trying to say there should be a way of separating who the best goal scorer was. That's what I'm saying. And Alex, clearly in Alex's case, it may well have affected him in some way, and it may have fallen on deaf ears. But that might just be the way Pete delivered the email, which was
beautifully. I thought, have you thought of going into audio?
I thought it was quite obnoxious. Actually,
I felt like we were about to storm the capital.
Storm the capital.
We're in the capital. But thank you for getting in touch, Alex.
I just think you've done today, Luke, is disrespect Johnny Goodall of Preston, who's got 21 goals. In 1888.
Yeah. I don't deny those goals happened. I just don't think there was a tradition of giving out a golden shoe at that point. Anyway, Michael's also been in touch. Thank you for your email, Alex. We appreciate that. Michael has got this to say. He says, I'm not much of a writer, so I'm going to try and keep this short and sweet, but I genuinely believe I have a legit solution for orange card offences. The punishment for the offending player is a yellow card, according to Michael's idea, plus he or she has to run around the outside of the pitch 10 times.
It's good.
This distance running based approach allows the player the choice to either smash the run as fast as they can so as to leave their team with 10 men for as little time as possible, but of course they will be expending more energy, or they plod around to conserve energy, but their team is short of a player for longer. It's a glorified sin bin, and I accept that in certain away grounds, it could be problematic to run past the opposition fans 10 times, but all I can say is don't do the crime if you don't do the time.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I find the idea of sin bins quite boring, and this is definitely...
It's because you hate rugby and all things.
Made it better. Like, it's made it better.
You should do like a little... everyone likes Taskmaster. It's one of the most successful TV franchises ever. And like, it's just you got to go off the field.
I'm not sure ever.
Got to pop an egg through a letterbox with the deal.
Wait, is that like... Would you call... No, okay. I'm going to...
So when you bring out the yellow card or the orange card in your scenario, the referee also brings out a white envelope with a red seal on it and opens it and says,
this is what you've got to do before you get back.
Egg for a letterbox?
I don't know. I don't watch it. Shit. But whatever it is. It's not a challenge. I don't know. I don't know.
It's not a shit. It's a good show. I don't think it's one of the most...
I just think we've fallen for a very cheap show.
Britain,
I pay my taxes. Britain,
isn't it? Yeah. I don't think it's funded by the taxpayers. It might be actually.
It was, yeah.
Maybe it was.
That's Dave.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, but I think Dave might be a little at the BBC.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
I was laughing too much. I couldn't whistle.
We don't just do conspiracies on Monday. It turns out.
No, exactly.
Nice. Get your dilemmas. Oh, it's Wednesday tomorrow. Speaking of days, get your dilemmas or questions in for Pep Talks, shirtfootballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Keep them coming in.
1927, Dixie Dean, 60 goals. Yeah, piss off, Dixie. Stop dicking about, mate.
You'll have Everton fans coming after you now, mate.
Fucking hell. That's ridiculous. The year before was 37, the year after was 43.
Mm. Everton fans are still hungover. They're not.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably still hungover from that Dixie Dean season.
I won't be.
What a return.
60.
Yeah. Now, look, Manchester United fans, you didn't get any love on Monday. You haven't had any love for a while. Does this count as love? Erik ten Hag has given his first interview. Mm. He says, oh God, he says a lot of stuff. He says he's going to end the era of Manchester City and Liverpool dominance. That's what he says, Manchester United fans. So that's what he's going to do. I admire them both. Liverpool and Man City play fantastic football. But eras always come to an end. He didn't want to put a time frame on it, though.
Yeah, a lot of Man United pundits are keen on time frames. I mean, Gary Neville, I think, would it have been, I can't remember else it was, but certainly Gary Neville was involved on Sky Sports not that long ago, where they're having a big row about whether it would take 3 years or 5 years for Man United to get back up to speed. It's like, right. I don't think this is the main issue here. You know?
They don't know what the speed is.
No. I understand why Erik ten Hag said this. Because
he's managed to skip over a potential pitfall that David Moyes all fell into. Do you remember when he said, we should be aspiring to be like Man City?
Oh, man. Did he actually say that?
He said it. In a post-match after... I think they'd just lost. They'd lost in a derby.
Yeah, that really haunts managers, that type of thing. Do you remember when Pete? Remember Rud Hullett said that the Tyne Weir derby was just another game or whatever, and he dropped on a Shearer for it. People got fuming about that. People also got fuming, I think, at Roy Hodgson, at Liverpool manager, because he said something about a Merseyside derby. He was pleased with a 0-0, something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
You can get away with being quite a level-headed when you're successful. But yeah, when you're poor, you can't say things like that.
No, exactly. Exactly. You basically might as well say, if you're a Newcastle manager and you're struggling and you're going into a Sunderland game, you might as well just rip your shirt off and paint your face and go, we're going to do this. And everyone will be like, hey, he's all right, actually. We like him. Yeah. So that's what you've got to do. But I understand why Ten Hag has to say this, right? He's coming into one of the biggest clubs in the world. He has to be positive, especially given what's come along recently, and the reason that he's got the job in the first place is partly because they've been an absolute shit show. Now, I'm not saying he wouldn't have got the job anyway, but the fact that they need a new manager is because they've not been good enough, right? But what I found quite interesting, one of our media outlets here, I forget which one, might have been Mail Online, might have been Sky Sports, spoke to a body language expert about Erik ten Hag's first press conference and came to the conclusion that he lacked precision.
Ooh.
In his thoughts and actions.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
Can you give us more detail
on
this?
No, I can't, I'm afraid.
Because it's all made up, like
a
horoscope.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's what they said. That's what they said. They're on the news desk scratching around for content, right? Mm. Body language expert.
Body language expert.
That is
apparently
real.
He lacks precision. But he's got a big challenge ahead of him, hasn't he? It's an amazing job for him. That bunch of players, my goodness me. My goodness
bigger
me.
Bigger rebuild than...
What a job.
Watford. Bigger rebuild than, I don't know, Crystal Palace last season.
Yeah.
Look, the whole thing, you know, all of these big managers, all of these successful teams over the past, especially recently, have had to combine players from multiple different eras. If you think about what Jurgen Klopp did when he came in at Liverpool, he had at least five different managers, recruits as part of his squad. But... yeah, he does seem to have some quite individual challenges. Do you think, based on your watching, Luke, of the extraordinary performance that Gary Cotterill put in for Sky Sports News over the weekend?
I don't like him.
Think, loud and proud. Yeah. Do you think that he is going to be bullied in the same way as poor old Ralf Rangnick apparently was? They were calling him Specs behind his back. Well, mocking him for talking to him
hurting.
As a child.
I'm sat between two specs.
Specky four eyes. Yeah.
So you're a recent specs convert as well.
It's a specky eight eyes in here. Specky 12. Join the clan.
I wouldn't. If I was going to criticise Ralf Rangnick, I would. That's the thing about that I don't like is the unimaginativeness of it. I don't. That's not the first thing I've criticised him for.
And Alex Ferguson had.
Look at his little
specs.
Jumpers. Start on his jumpers. At least start on his jumpers.
Erik ten Hag looks like Triple H for my money, so. When, maybe start with that next season.
When Gary Cotterill approached him yesterday in a car park, let's make that absolutely clear, and we obviously referenced it on the show yesterday, Erik ten Hag, it was like he didn't even know he was there. Mm. It was amazing to watch. It was basically
stuff.
Like, oh, there was a wasp here, but it's flown off now.
And that's what made me laugh, because it was Cotterill. I don't know.
Gary Cotterill.
Gary Cotterill, yeah. The way that he, and I think he got mugged off by him like the week before as well.
They had previous already.
Yeah, okay. So those kind of Sky, I'm going to use the word journalists, have a certain air about them. And think, well, we're the biggest boys in the game.
You
need to respect us. And when they get short shrift, it makes me giggle.
I spoke to someone I know at Sky Sports yesterday, texted them, and they replied saying, yeah, but you have to understand that's part of Gary's shtick. And I was like, what? Being an unbearable penis all the time?
Being
like,
embarrassing.
How's that punishment?
I mean, I'm not going to come out to bat specifically for all of his decisions that he makes, but I did feel a bit sorry. I mean, you know, he's been sent there to get a quote.
Yeah.
And that is what he's supposed to do. His social skills maybe didn't come to the fore when he was trying to deal with the guy who has the security. He at least tried to do his job.
Yeah.
My mate got sent up north to cover the Jimmy Savile funeral. Now he's in a documentary.
What are you saying? He shouldn't.
Now he's in a documentary saying how nice the funeral was.
I've seen it.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Gary will be delighted to be mentioned in the same sentence as that. Kate, it's fair enough to give you your view, and I totally get it. I'm not trying to say that is the view of the Ramblers as a whole.
No.
I wouldn't, for example, say...
No, I think everybody hammered him. I mean, actually, that's probably what my part of my sympathy is. Everybody hammered him, of course, but it's easy as a manager.
It's good luck for Ten Hag, I think. It's
exactly.
Good luck
Ten Hag looks like serious, a good egg. Yeah. And then this poor little stooge bloke who you know...
But what I'm saying is that my opinion on Gary Cotterill is that he embarrassed himself and I don't like him. But that's fair enough for me to say, but it wouldn't be fair for me to say, for example, I don't know, Andy Brassel doesn't like him, because that's not fair, because Andy's not here to give his own opinion. It's a personal opinion, not a ramble opinion, is what I'm saying.
Perhaps he should have just done what Enzo Cavani did, which is give the finger to a group of fans twice.
I'd love it if Ten Hag did that.
Get
to Gary Cotterill. The rubs his face just went like that.
I mean, it was an interesting move, wasn't it? I couldn't tell whether it was Man United fans or someone else or other fans, but he just beautifully gave the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's really rude in America, isn't it? The middle finger.
It's quite rude here as well.
Yeah, but it's not that rude. It's more like a...
I see that as worse than that.
Shocking. Wow.
Now this is like, what's he done? What's he done there?
Put your penis.
Welcome up.
That's such an overreaction. Put two fingers up.
Edison Cavani got a finger up the bum that time, didn't he? Remember?
What?
Remember the Copa America?
Oh, was that
him? Chilean footballer got banned.
I'm so loath to tell you. We've got to move on because we've got to. No. I know, Luke, you've tried. You've endeavoured to prevent us from getting to the predictions element of the show.
Flipping everyone off.
Yeah, because apparently in the production meeting, you guys were alluding to the idea that mine are actually worse than Pete's.
Luke,
which is bad.
Yes.
Luke, I've got yours here, and they are the most astonishingly poor predictions possibly in Ramble history. We'll get to it.
So
here it is. Pete's got mine. I've got yours and you've got Pete's.
Yes,
Luke.
Correct. Yes, right.
Yes. Okay, okay. Cool. So that's the way we're going to do it. What we'll do, we'll just rattle through, guys, because I know there's some element of admin to this, but we think it's worth a bit of deserved mockery, probably. Yeah. So look, I'll just start.
I just can't see how mine can be worse than Pete's, because I'm looking at Pete's now.
Look at him.
Some of these teams aren't even in the Premier League.
All right, so I'll just say what happened and then we'll go around. Shall we go around Luke next, Pete next, me after that?
Okay.
Right? So Premier League winner was Manchester City.
So Pete had Chelsea. That's not too bad. See why. They were European champions.
There you go. And they had a good manager. Kate's was Man City.
Oh, come on.
What was mine?
Mate.
Yours was Chelsea as well. It's all right. Okay. It's not too bad. Relegated teams. Norwich, Watford, Burnley.
Yeah, so Pete went for Southampton, which I applaud him for.
Mm-hmm. Carrying
more
favour.
Power to you. Norwich. So you got one there.
Nice.
And weirdly, you went for Brentford.
Yeah. I thought they were going to be straight out.
Yeah.
Kate inexplicably went for Brentford, Palace, Watford and Brighton. For four
you went
clubs.
For a change in how the game's actually fucking played.
How would that happen? Like, kind of just throw out for financial impropriety? How would it kind of...
Why did you go for four teams?
I just thought...
Mix it up.
Yeah. What did I go for?
You actually, I think it might have been the same as Pete. You said Crystal Palace, Norwich, Watford.
Norwich, Watford.
Is that what you went for?
No, Pete went for Southampton, Brentford, Norwich.
Oh my God, my brain
Crystal
is...
Crystal Palace, Norwich. So I've got two out of three. That's good.
That's good. Yeah. Well done. Well done,
fucking hell, you did.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Well done, Lucky.
All right then. Next up, Dark Horse. Clearly this is a subjective thing. Perhaps we would say, was there really a Dark Horse? Perhaps you could say Brentford.
Yeah, I'd say Brentford or Brighton probably.
Newcastle. Yeah. I mean, it's a dark, really expensive horse.
Pete went
a stallion. Oh, they're very big. Arabia, big on its horses.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, at
lovely.
The start of the season, I mean, if you are, by the dictionary definition, the start of the season, a team you didn't think were going to be where they were at the end of the season, I think Newcastle probably fit that.
Yeah, you went for Watford.
I did go for Watford, yeah. Yeah.
What did Kate go
Not
for?
Not great. Kate went for Aston Villa, which I think is...
Yeah,
sure. It's kind of
getting
neutral,
up there,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting up there.
You, Luke, using all of the information at your disposal, fair enough. Rafa Benitez, many people backed him.
Yeah.
I've got
a bit of a blind spot of Everton. I kind of overrate them quite regularly. I remember backing to finish in the top four under Ancelotti as well. And they started off pretty well. But anyway, that's life.
On which subject, first manager to leave will be sacked. I actually, it's not Benitez, in fact, which is how I remember it. Cisco. At Watford.
No, I forgot
the manager of Huesca.
I forgot he ever existed.
Given how much material we got out of the thong song, I can't believe that.
Yeah. So Pete went for Daniel Farke, which, you know, is not a terrible shout.
Not
I mean,
a
obviously,
terrible
he didn't.
There or thereabouts,
him, but,
yeah. Right? Yeah.
Kate went for Benitez.
All right.
So there you go.
Back my chat. Mm. You said Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, that's turned out badly, isn't it?
He had such a. I can see that because he had such a big rebuild, as mentioned before.
It was a big challenge.
It was a big old challenge, and he's come through it with flying colours, and he got a kick a fan at the end of it as well.
That was great.
Yes,
he kicks him.
You want to see what I've got for notable mad shit, mate?
Yeah. He knows his Crystal Palace heritage. Premier League top scorer, everybody, as discussed earlier, Mo Salah and Song Hyung Min shared it outrageously.
Yeah. Pete went. Yeah, I'm fuming about that. Pete went for Romelu Lukaku.
Oh,
which is kind of a logical
scorer at Chelsea.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he was going to be very good, but he's turned up and he's not very good.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think you can say he's not very good.
He's very good.
Yeah,
in the grand scheme of things, he's better than these other strikers I've got.
Stop saying very good, not very good.
I think this is a shit call. I hope this wasn't the call I made.
Very nice, very evil.
What did Kate go for?
Kate went for Harry Kane.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you went to know he's going to take half a season off. To be fair,
that's true. Yeah. And I don't believe penalties count anyway.
Yeah.
You also went for Romelu Lukaku.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
That's the thing, going first, you can't say shit because you can't slag off Pete because
you can't remember
what I did.
Yeah, you can't remember what you did. All right, then. Two more bits. Most red cards. The answer is only two. I suppose, yeah, that's fair enough. Raul Jimenez and Ezri Konsa both got two. Everton got six red cards. I'm amazed that Arsenal didn't get the most. I feel
we
like they got.
Well, we didn't do teams anyway. We just did players.
I know. I'm just giving a bit of background for the listeners, just so that they continue to be educated by the glory of the Football Ramble.
Pete went for Cesar Azpilicueta. I can see why.
Yeah, I can see why I would
quite disappointed
book.
By you this year. You've gone
quite
logical
quite
stuff.
Logical stuff.
Yeah. For now.
I don't know. I just think, you know, who wants to write that name in the book?
True.
Most red cards, Harry Maguire you went for. He's not had a great season, so I can see why that would be the case.
The problem with Harry Maguire is he's been so far off it, he's not even close enough to
reach.
Him, so.
But you can imagine,
anyone.
You know, some of those missed challenges.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
he could
definitely.
Have just, like, upended someone. And you went for Callum Chambers. All right. Player of the season. The answer is Kevin De Bruyne.
Pete Donaldson, take a bow.
Come on.
You went for Kevin De Bruyne.
Went for Kevin De Bruyne.
Well done, mate.
Good effort.
Kate also went for Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh, and I've let us down.
Who did you go for?
Mason Mount. I actually don't think that's a
Mason Mount. Mount.
I think fair. Many Chelsea fans would make an argument. I think it's a good call.
It's not. It's wrong.
True. It's a good wrong call.
In the words of Bob Dylan on his birthday, if something's not right, it's wrong. Simple as that.
Which leaves us with notable mad shit.
Yeah, so Pete, this is obviously going to be a highlight for all of our listeners every year. Those who've listened for a while will remember the famous Pete Donaldson shout, "A penis will be seen."
And a penis was seen
at the Euros.
Amazing. Yeah.
Pete's notable mad shit, I don't know how we're going to judge this, was a 4-second scream is heard, four whole beautiful seconds.
Pete,
can you confirm that happened or not?
No, I'd look around and see if there's any screams. Magic from Messi makes Pulido
disappear. Yeah, that's an old one though.
That's not this season. No. So I was looking for something like that. I haven't found it. If anyone's found a screen that's about that length this season, let us know.
Very helpful to get a visualisation of what that represents, though, anyway.
It's hard to tell. Do you think that was actually 4 seconds?
About that. Three and a bit.
I was doing
I'd say.
One elephant, two elephant, and I didn't actually get to four.
Pete, and that's ads.
Was that Kate's mad shit? Three elephants.
So Kate's mad shit was, I'm just skip over here. All teams comply fully with FFP. Only joking. Brentford Stadium evacuated after infestation of bees. I could see that happening because that would be a story. That would be and finally Brentford Stadium has had to be because there's loads of bees around.
I like that
to
you
get the bee man in.
I like you put a bit of satire at the front.
Yeah.
So, listen, oi.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, oi. Bit of FFP banter. Yeah. And then. Bees.
Stuart Lee. Yeah. She's like Stuart Lee.
Give them what they want. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have been to the Brentford training ground. It's partly what inspired that. It's like a whole load of ported cabins just in the middle of a swamp.
What kind of situation would there need to be for me and Pete to go to Brentford's training ground?
I don't know. Doing a bit of work in football?
Nah.
Yeah. They made it very clear that all.
What was my mad shit?
You came up with, not far off, a team will score 10 goals in one game. It's not that mad, though, is it?
No, it's not, given Southampton are in the league.
Wait.
You know, they've been very close a couple of times, famously. So, fair enough. I think Pete's probably the closest there.
Oh, yeah.
Scream.
Yeah. The bee thing didn't happen.
But look, he didn't dare to dream like UK.
But apparently the Highbury Screamer is back. You know, the one that used to be in the 90s? They're back on, whenever an attacking player is about to score, they scream to try and put them off.
Nice.
It's back.
It's a weird existence.
It's a weird existence.
They got that from tennis, I reckon. Which you'll like, won't you, Luke? You'll like that a lot. We also got some of your embarrassing predictions from the start of the season. Lee Royal said, pretty sure I said that Newcastle would get into Europe. I mean, not so embarrassing.
Fired Steve Bruce a few weeks before. Yeah.
Look forward to seeing them in the Champions League next season. Season after. Yeah. Swedish House Furniture.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, that must be probably just their name on Twitter, is it?
Yeah, I can't see the actual tweet.
You can't just interrupt as a non sequitur. Just go Swedish House Furniture. Swedish. Very confusing for people like me and Pete.
Do you think it's
Swedish House Furniture is a classic Ramble contributor?
He is actually. Yeah, he's been around for a long, long time. What was his prediction?
Oh, I don't think that's his real name. Liverpool would fire Klopp or he'd leave after not doing well enough. Norwich would probably reach mid-table.
Yeah, that's mad. That is totally mad. I'm pleased we put that after mine.
Yeah. That does make yours look better, actually.
I'll take it. I will absolutely take it.
Well, look, there we go. We've put our money where our mouth is. No, we haven't. We've put our embarrassment where our mouth is, as usual.
And the rest of the week, the rest of the guys will be doing their predictions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I should hope so, too.
Look out for that.
Do you know if any of theirs are worse?
We don't know what anyone is.
No.
No. So there we go.
Oh, yeah, look forward to that then. Also, coming up this week, it was Mental Health Awareness Week last week. So to mark it, for Upfront out today, Flo and Chloe are joined by some special guests. Chloe's teammate Lee Nicol and Shiv Wilson join them to discuss mental health among footballers, the impact of social media, and some of the challenges unique to women's football. It's a fantastic, really important listen, this one. So do get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. It's in fact already out.
Came out this morning. Yeah, I was actually fortunate enough to listen to a portion of this while it was being recorded, and it is fascinating. So definitely do check it out.
As long as you've already listened to Book Club.
Oh yeah, Book Club as well. Definitely listen to Book Club. That, the Owen Eastwood episode of Book Club is one of, if not the best one. So people should listen to that too.
I'll chase that
one. So much content. It's all free as well.
I'll chase that one for 9 months.
Do you know? Well, much worth it. The
period of a pregnancy, I now realise.
Yeah. So go and listen to Kate's baby over on Football Round Presents.
Please
it comes
do.
In the form of a man talking about his book. But I would say that...
Man talking about his England team, I mean, you know.
There's so much free content being put out, Pete.
That's true.
And I did last night. You know what I did last night?
What'd you do?
Just sat through muting people complaining about the show. So that's the thanks you get.
And we take the paltry finance we get in return for these free things. And Andy Brassel is opening a brasserie.
Jack
Grealish is going
to
be in.
No, we give all the money to Andy to go on his At The Match trip. Yeah, there we go.
Are those expensible? I'm bang up for doing one then.
Yeah. I reckon we would be able to sell out a brasserie.
I also reckon, by the way, speaking of Pete talking about the match, Brassel was desperate to get you to go to Hartlepool with him and you never went.
He went to a northeast fixture with Emil.
I think
Heart Radio DJ and podcaster. He is good. Yeah. He's got a lovely voice.
I think we need to take this off air, boys.
All right, see you later.
You still okay?
Yeah, great.
You're right. There's still going to be a Luke and Pete.
Yeah, there will be. Some more Luke and Pete shows later.
The listeners are very glad to hear it, aren't you, listeners? Lovely to have had you today. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.